And welcome back.
Welcome
Quick short
back.
Break.
Yeah, thanks for holding on with us there. We've got a good close for you and some additional resources. So here we go.
Yeah, to give us time to align this last closing section. And ideally what we want to do now is we want to take this whole loop back again. We started off this morning explaining some of the key concepts, confusions, theories about DevOps, problems, metrics, SLAs. Really, what is the real world about? And what do people care about within the devs, the ops, and the business personas? So we're going to bring that back now. We've got one slide to kind of summarize that back from a metrics perspective and which key components play inside of that. And then we'll revisit all those images and graphics around the real world and ideally where we want to move towards from a developer operations perspective. So if we jump across to the PowerPoint and have a look at the couple of lists around those metrics. So just to bring them out, we had those acronyms or the definition of those acronyms first thing this morning. We looked at MTTD and we assigned SLA to that because obviously the faster we detect any issues that might be out there, the quicker it is for us either to respond as operations people or pass over an issue to development and allow them to repair and remediate as quickly as possible. So leveraging things like Operations Manager, leveraging things like App Insights with APM and GSM, giving you a well-rounded view of what is really going on in my environment at the application layer, and then handling them as quickly as possible. Obviously, handling them as quickly as possible brings down the amount of calls, brings down the amount of support problems, brings down the cost from a business perspective around the expenditure they might be having with regards to downtime and issues along the way. The second one we looked at was MTTR. And again, assigning SLA to that, but understanding the key components or products that were inside of that that could be used and leveraged to actually remediate issues as we experience them. So if we have a look at the second point on the slide, using the likes of the integration with Virtual Machine Manager and Operations Manager, allowing you to scale if you hit certain performance issues, performance hits. Anything like that will give us a view of what's actually going on in our environment, allowing us to have a full view of what's actually being experienced from a dev or ops perspective. Then moving from a proactive release perspective. How do we track, how do we audit, how do we actually ensure that if something goes wrong, we're able to either roll back or roll forward or push out an update or a patch as quickly as possible. The last piece that we finished off that David kind of focused on was around the scaling from a public cloud perspective. Things like Traffic Manager, using Azure Auto Scale, allowing us to remediate on the fly as quickly as possible, handle that bump, handle that issue, and then fix and work in the back end to bring that scenario down and allowing business to carry on as per normal. Then we look at the failures, which obviously affects many people on the operations side, dev side, and to the pocket of the business. If we're able to start to work together earlier, and as we've brought that story through for you today around the planning phase, integration with ops, with devs and business, we're able to achieve a winning result for all three personas. The less failures, the quicker we pick up the failures, the win it is for all three personas in our story. And the last piece around, which kind of builds on top of the metrics, or top of the SLA and the products, is this concept around continuous delivery. And very much like DevOps, a lot of flavors out there about continuous delivery means and refers to, we've kind of assigned three areas taken from the most common reference out there around automated testing, continuous integration, and continuous deployment. Mm-hmm. Giving us a full view that all three of those play a very key piece to actually giving you continuous delivery. Now, taking those three components into account, the automated testing, the continuous integration and deployment, brings about really one thing, a faster iteration of application development being pushed out into business, being pushed out into production, and being supported and used by operations along the way. And the faster we push them out, we're obviously ensuring they're reliable, they're consistent, and that'll bring down the support operations on the other side from a cost perspective. So if we now move forward, it kind of summarizes the metrics, the SLA and the personas and how they would be affected by them. If we move forward in the next slide around the traditional image we looked at earlier, which David kind of explained to us this morning on traditional DevOps. We have this wall, has to be broken down. If it doesn't, we obviously lead to many issues, problems in production itself. So ideally, moving through what we've done through today, leveraging all those components, leveraging all the key products within our Microsoft stack and extending to third party, allowing us to start to move and take these iterations faster and faster, at the same time, letting them be more reliable. So, I mean, we'd love to see, and I'm sure developers would love to see an animation of application updates going out as quickly as possible like that. But the key...
They just don't stop, man. They just keep going. They just keep going. When you see the love of the developers and the ops come together, you just see releases, they flow, right? They come out of that relationship.
The devs are a beast because we've empowered them. Really that simple. They can produce, they can pass out, and we can support a more reliable application and infrastructure in our environment. Then moving forward to the next section of the slide deck, we had a few minutes that we spent talking around what current environments do in the employment side from a development perspective. I want to scale out, I want to use stuff, but the infrastructure guys, the operation guys, are always hindering me. There's always process, there's always change requests. Well, we spoke about, right, people on the side deploying infrastructure, deploying components, using things without operations being aware of it. All of a sudden, it's in production and supported and possibly leading to some issues along the way. Really, what we want to move is move away from those two components of people working in isolation, people working on the side, away from operations. We want that collaboration. We want to ensure that all three personas that we've spoken about today, the ops, the devs, plus the business, work together hand in hand through each of those phases. So going from planning, going into develop, going into release, going to operate, and back again to complete that full life cycle for us. And this is the traditional experience that we all know and we all understand. You are costing me money, IT. IT, you're a cost center. I'm always throwing money inside and I never see a return on my investment. IT going, well, I'm trying to really keep the lights on. I'm so becoming so reactive in fighting fires because our friends on the other side are always releasing either code, releasing servers, releasing packages, updates without me being fully aware of them. And they're on their side, also not fully aware of within the development house who is doing what from an auditing or logging perspective. And ideally, we want to move across to this, Dave.
Yeah.
We want to have a real-world scenario where everything's great.
That's right. We're all happy in the cloud. Our infrastructure is all better. The developer guy's just releasing all things. And the business person's just saying, you know what? Why don't I just buy you a round of golf?
They do what they do best.
That's right.
Work on the handicap.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we jest, we talk about this, but this is the key piece. We want that integration to lead to better results for all three personas down the line. The subject that we spoke around earlier around what is DevOps also led to people hiring DevOps or hiring DevOps peoples. Peoples, is that, that's the terrible South African English.
Peeps.
Peeps. I mean, that's okay. Come back to American roots. Yeah. But ideally, don't spend the energy, the effort, the ability to start looking at a new person. Leverage the investment you have with your current resources, your current operations team, your current development team, and leverage the resources you have there of them working together to give you a full view.
Yeah, and what we've seen, you know, I've seen a number and talked to a number of different customers that are out there where, you know, sometimes what they'll see success in is they'll have, for instance, they'll form an existing DevOps team within their existing personnel. They may find, let's say, personnel or folks that are kind of tired of what they're doing. They want to do something outside of the norm, right? Pull people even with specific skills that have a good level of asset for DevOps. You know, you may have a guy who loves PowerShell, right? You pull that guy and say, hey, you want to do this DevOps project. They'll form this team within the existing folks that are out there. They'll then have a specific project they want to work on. You know, a lot of times they'll do like a net new, a greenfield, a new app or the deployment right inside their environment, show success. And then from that, then they start to gain momentum and then bring in maybe older or existing projects. It's just one example where we've seen a number of cases of people doing that kind of thing.
And that can be extended to such a large level by just empowering those developers with a simple thing like PowerShell, leveraging DSC and PowerShell 4.0, giving them that extra view of where am I pushing my application to, what state is it in? Great, let's make this a more reliable push out to production. And then the next slide really is around the finger pointing, the who's who and who's done what. We kind of want to move away from that. We want to kind of leverage the benefits of DevOps and really kind of have a dynamic environment that really leads to a little bit more fun and action on the other side. So yes, spend less time fighting fire, spend less time finger pointing, and really leverage the benefit of a dynamic environment.
Spend time at the beach with beach balls and getting wet while you're fully clothed. I mean, come on, that's where it's at, right?
The ideal dream.
Yeah.
But again, in all jest, you know, we've set the planning, we set the closing for a reason around what is it like, what do we want it to be like. But the one slide the next slide really in is around how do operations assist DevOps. Is that one of the key takeaways here to understand that all three personas have a role to play in each of these pillars.
Right. Accelerating delivery of the applications. Hopefully you've seen some ways that could happen. You know, optimizing the resources, right? Again, we showed you a little bit of how that might look like for you know, PowerShell, provisioning scripts, the automation services. All right, improving availability, right, where you're using technologies like System Center Operations Manager, App Insights to monitor those apps and possibly including those agents that we have to help you with that, or even doing scale, right, with some of our services like Traffic Manager or Service Gateway, right, to help improve global availability and performance, right? Increasing the application quality, right? Talking about application performance monitoring and those capabilities that we have in encoding those into your applications and your infrastructure that you have, potentially even from the dev and test cycle all the way through production to where you quickly, right, identify issues before ideally they even happen. And then finally, right, again, this is going to overall really improve your business when you start to do any one of these things. And what I would tell you, right, for our audience out there is that, you know, you do not have to obviously do all of these things, right? And so, you know, first is people and process, I would say. And then after that, you know, it's you starting to decide, well, which tools do you want to use, right? We realize, like, again, back from the start, we realize some people have existing investments in open source technologies. Fine, great. You know, maybe you use little bits and pieces of our Microsoft technologies and then use some open source ones, right? There's different pieces where we even integrate with open source. But you decide the products and the tools after you kind of have those people and those processes set up to kind of get going with things. You pick bits and pieces from what you've seen today to learn deeper and get started on moving with DevOps inside of your organization, right? So, you know, get engaged with that DevOps conversation inside your organization. And hopefully today we've provided you with some, you know, ideas of all the different products and how they might relate into the life cycle for what you're doing with DevOps. And then on this next slide here, you know, we have some related content for you to tune into. One is the DevOps blog. It's a new blog that we've created on TechNet, and there's a number of posts up on there which will kind of help you, and we're going to continue to post stuff up to that blog. It's a Microsoft blog on all kinds of DevOps topics. Also, of course, stay tuned, as we mentioned before, to future MVA courses, right? We have, we realize this is still 200 level, high level kind of ideas of all the products and stuff. We kind of gave you hopefully whet your appetite a little bit for some of the things, but you could definitely stay tuned for more future courses that go deeper on specific products and components. And then, you know, we have, I would say, roughly a monthly cadence on the Edge show. The Edge show, we have, if you go to ak.ms/EdgeDevOps, right, that's going to lead you to Edge show episodes that are focused on DevOps. And there's also weekly episodes from our team that are relevant to your IT pro or operations audience. My colleague Rick Claus is doing Microsoft Azure as well. So if you want to know, you know, keep up to date on some of the latest and greatest features that are there with Microsoft Azure, you know, tune into that. So it kind of gives you your latest update. And then, you know, of course, Morgan and I, we have a pre-con, which I'd sold out, but, you know, but for those of you who aren't going to the pre-con, you know, definitely check out our sessions. You have one that's focused on the on-premises side of the house, and then I've got one which is, I would say, more focused on the overall role and kind of trying to summarize a little bit of what we heard today in 75 minutes, along with the cloud flavor. But yeah, so, and there's also a number of DevOps sessions for Build and TechEd outside of ours too.
Yeah.
So.
And if you look at the day we've had today and the amount of content we squeezed in really quickly within this period of time, it kind of makes sense to understand that we're now going to start to expand to more intricate, deeper, deep-leveled sessions around on the MVA as well as on Edge. And it really is a journey over the next few months with us to understand those different pieces that all play together. So yeah, I mean, Dave, we had a good day. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, hope you all enjoyed it. You know, fill out the polls, give us feedback, right? And, you know, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter as well, you know, @DTZAR if you'd like. We have itproguy.com as my blog. And so until next time, yeah, thanks for watching.
Thank you for attending.